to your 2014-2015 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, the astrologer, who has been working with your charts over and over again. This is the last of many different Libra-era projects, and so these charts have been talking for a while, and I've got the messages that I would like to deliver personally to you. I'm planning to work in two sections of astrology and then a third, which is astrology afterthoughts, and then a tarot reading. The length of the sessions is unpredictable. I just will kind of keep talking till I get to a natural pausing point and then take a break and start over again. So the first thing I want to say here, besides happy birthday and thanks for getting this report, and I look forward to seeing you in the Libra Q&A session, which will happen in a week or two, is that this is, first of all, a time of deeply important and challenging astrology for Libra, and that means that it is meaningful and that it is especially full of opportunity, and you are in what I would call a before and after time in your life, a time when you look at the events of this era, which I would describe as being approximately from mid-2012 to mid-2015, about a three-year era, that there will be a clear demarcation point, that you had entirely different agendas before and after these years, and that things that were a concern before 2012 and even into the transition area cease to be a concern, and that you have a whole new agenda and new things on your mind and a whole new approach to life. One cautionary note I would give you, something I've just picked up from keeping my ear to the ground, is that the astrological significators that you've got, particularly the outer planets, Uranus, Pluto, and Chiron, are challenging planets for astrologers to read. I don't think that they should be, but I would just advise caution if anyone writing a sun sign column, for example, is pessimistic or predicts bad things. There is really no astrology that can be used to predict bad things, ever. There is astrology that can be mistaken, that is descriptive of spiritual transformations and a level of reaching emotional and what you might think of as karmic depth that can go over the head of people not associated with the, let's say, subtler meanings of these particular planets. And you have the somewhat, well, hardly somewhat, definitely momentous Uranus-Pluto square, Uranus in Aries, Pluto in Capricorn, directly involved with your chart. The planet Uranus is making a seven-year trip through your relationship house, Aries, and the planet Pluto is making about a 15-year trip through a house that's not easy to summarize in one word. Seventh, you can say it's the relationship house. That's pretty easy, the opposite sign. But the fourth house takes on board themes such as family history, the lineage, the long story, one's own emotional development and factors of the childhood, the home of origin, that is to say, the family of origin's home can be described by the fourth house and often is. And then your own sense of whether and why you feel safe on the planet is also a fourth house question. That astrology books say, well, security. The fourth house is about security and home. But the fourth has that very long story to it. It may be the longest story of any of the houses. Certainly as measured in worldly terms, in generations, for example, in years, the fourth house goes back a long way. And you have Pluto there. And Pluto is involved in what we might think of as a complete restructuring of your concept of security, your concept of home, your sense of whether you belong, where you are, and why, how you handle endings. Very important theme of the fourth house. And it seems vitally important to you to make sure that you are clear that your endings are real endings, which any good therapist would tell you leaves you free to invoke your future, leaves you free to move on and be yourself. And so what you might think of as at the bottom of all of this, if we use Libra as the reference point in your chart, and those of you who are Libra rising, this is applicable. And if you're Libra sun and have a different rising sign, there's likely to be a parallel story in the chart associated with your actual ascendant. But for our purposes, using Libra as the reference point, which works well, at the bottom of the chart, the bottom of the story, as in the underlying material and investigating till you have gotten to the bottom of a matter, of digging into the family history, into the root system that that you have sunk your feelers and roots into in a way that is designed to draw nourishment, there's Pluto moving through here. And it's a long, slow trip. And Pluto's action is always a fundamental change of perspective wherever it is acting. It always leads to a kind of what you might think of as an evolutionary purge of clearing, cleansing. You know, imagine that you're down in the root system of your life and you're finding out where all these roots go and you are cleaning things up and you are very likely to be doing your best, for one thing, to understand the past, to reconcile with the past, and to clean out the root system, the basement, and make sure that, let's say that your roots are sufficiently untangled so that you can follow and see where they go. A metaphor for this is cleaning the basement. Very appropriate one. And you know, you just might want to do that. Literally, clean the basement. Go downstairs, or maybe it's not a basement, you know, it might be an attic. That also works quite well for Capricorn, but a place where the things from the past are kept. The storage locker, the place where maybe at your parents' house where you have stuff, grab that, dig it up, bring it home, go through it, and see, first of all, what it feels like and what you learn, and persist in these metaphors, physical metaphors, of addressing the material of the past. That could be files, it could be books, it could be diaries. And by the way, I'm a believer in keeping diaries. I know some people like to purge their records, and Pluto, moving through the fourth house, may be urging you to, you know, throw it all out. I would say go through it all, organize it, sort it out, make sure you know what everything is. Keep it in new clean boxes and leave it for when this transit is over, because I think it will take on new meaning. And especially if you're American, it is worth recognizing the struggle that our culture has with dealing with the past. And Pluto is an invitation to address and confront the past. And because Pluto is always about drawing spiritual power, drawing the power of soul from where it is transiting, you will make contact with a power source. I know how alien some of the records from the past can feel, especially like teenage years and stuff like that. But you definitely, you know, I would recommend anyway, keeping the option open, remembering that this is your story, your history, and once something is in a landfill, you can't get it back. Okay, so think of that as going on at the bottom. Think of that as an engine that is running, cleaning the root system, cleaning the basement. All of which, I would say, giving another take on Pluto, is about cultivating an authentic emotional independence, a state of being where you know that you are strong enough to stand on your own feet spiritually. There's other factors in your chart that are going to point to this, and I'm going to speak about them in a moment. We're going to look at the seventh house next, and then we'll see how we're doing on time, and maybe in this section talk about the sixth house as well. Then we'll get into some of the subtler points of the quicker moving planets. Okay, so we've got that as the foundation, right? The bedrock, the moving bedrock on which this whole reading and this whole time in your life is standing. Now, Pluto in Capricorn is a long story. It is begins in 2008, and it goes through about 2024. Long story, right? Thankfully, people say, oh, Pluto transits are so long. I wish they would be shorter, to which I say, it's good they take their time. It's good that we get this information and these challenges and these literally being challenged to live your full strength, for example, in degrees, and are gradually nudged along. And by the way, the 12 through 15 era is a peak of the Pluto in Capricorn transit, and it's a peak because of the action of another planet, which is Uranus, which is in another one of the angular houses. The angular houses are the ones that meet your sign on a right angle. So if we're referring to the chart from the viewpoint of Libra, the angular houses would be Libra, then Capricorn, then Aries, and then Cancer. So those are where I tend to, you know, put a lot of emphasis. And there is another angular house that is having an outer planet transit, and that is the seventh house, the house of relationships, one of the most tangible houses of them all. It is the one that we spend most of our time looking out at all day, because we're in so many relationships with so many people, and we're, you know, we tend to live in horizontal space, and we're looking out across horizontal space all day, and a lot of what we're looking at are the projections of our own minds, and the seventh house includes the projections of your mind, but it also includes what comes toward you, what is available, who is available, the people around you, the partners that are around you, co-workers, fifth, sixth, seventh. So there's two houses that address co-workers, a very important type of relationship, undervalued, underemphasized, often, you know, considered not part of real life. That's only part of one's work life, but you know, work life is real life, and the more your work life is meaningful to you, the more your work life is part of your real life. And in any event, there is a 7-year transit running across your seventh house, and that is Uranus. And Uranus is quite an interesting bird. I think of the modern planets, Uranus, Pluto, Neptune, it is the least well understood, though astrology's got a long way to go on understanding these planets. But it's challenging in that it comes with the factor of unpredictability. So where there is Uranus in a chart, one thing you can say straight away is, well, one effect here is going to be a lack of ability to say, this is what's going to happen and this is when it's going to happen. And in the seventh house, that spontaneity factor comes in the form of people and the choices that they make, and also the ways that they manifest and unmanifest in your life. And so when there's activity in the seventh, there can be Uranus activity in the seventh. There can be these moments of someone's just there, and then they're not there. And with Libra, the sign most often associated with relationships and balance and the desire for stability, the presence of Uranus in Aries, in your seventh house, the opposite of your sun, is what you can think of as the very antithesis of what the concept of Libra thinks it was born for. And this is meaningful. And it is meaningful in particular because it is not only influencing your relationships. It's not only describing the unpredictability factor. It's not only describing the almost perpetual state of change that any Uranus transit can bring. But it's talking about a fundamental reconceptualizing of your whole notion of what a relationship is and what people do in your life, what they're there for. And in addition to that, there is the necessity to let go of all of your prejudices about who people are. Because with Uranus, one thing you can have, Uranus in the seventh, is kind of weird people showing up. Interesting people, weird people, crazy people, very creative people, unique, intense. All of these describe Uranus when it manifests as a relational factor, as it's doing. And, you know, I would say that having talked to a lot of people about their relationships and studying the world as the closet anthropologist that I am, people tend to have two main modes in relationship. Either they want the stable relationship with the normal person where things are predictable, or one douchebag after the next comes along. And with Uranus, it is certainly possible and necessary to watch out for the crazy maker factor, the people who are unstable, the people who are, you know, brilliant but whacked. And by that, I mean in pain and expecting you to be the one who supports them emotionally and maybe even financially. But with Uranus taken on its most intuitive, most creative level, what you have with Uranus is the potential for people who are not exactly what they seem when you meet them. They may seem, for example, weirder than they are. They may seem like the person you would never be attracted to. And then after a while, you converse with them and you get to understand them and you engage with their point of view and you find out, well, this person may seem a little strange, but there's really something going on here that I'm interested in. And so it's necessary to give people a chance. At the same time, you make sure you know when that chance has been expended. And so they get their chance or chances, an opportunity of time and experience, and you decide which way things are going as you personally witness and experience them going. And if someone is acting as a crazy maker, if someone is functioning in a way that is disruptive, in a way that takes you off of your productivity. That's a good reason to make sure that they no longer get to have much of an influence in your life. If, on the other hand, you find out that someone is inspiring and provocative and makes you think in a way that you haven't spent much time thinking, or pushes you to a new level, or where there is collaboration that brings out something different in you, if they are giving you permission to be your weird self, they're helping you open up in ways. If their gift to the world is a form of offering permission to be different, then you've got your honest working on the more intuitive and creative level, rather than on the unpredictable and unstable level. Now, there's going to be some mixing and matching, and this is where it's time to let go of all your prejudices and to make sure that you're really observing your own life and making decisions based on what you observe. And that observation, I think, would safely be four or so events, experiences, episodes stretched out over a period of months, though there will be times when you just get the message. You figure out, this person is a problem, or this person is a teacher. This person may be a little strange and challenging to deal with, but this is someone that I know I'm going to learn from, and I make the choice to accept them into my life and will be, consciously participating in the relationship. Now, it's very easy to take a Uranus 7th house transit and say, oh, this is just about, quote-unquote, things not working. But the thing to understand is that which does not work may very well be completely outmoded. Entirely outmoded. And it is long overdue time to have a change. And part of that change is your concept, your rules, basically, for what a relationship is and how relationship partners are supposed to work, what they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to look, what they're supposed to say to you, what their income level is supposed to be, how they're supposed to dress, all these external expectations are what Uranus loves to shatter, loves to make go away and challenge you into thinking in much more creative and inventive ways. So there is an invention process involved. I'm looking right now at a chart that I keep hanging on the wall above my computer. Maybe I'll write about this one this year. I love this chart. The chart's called Kitty Hawk, Historic Flight. And it's a chart for the Wright brothers getting in their little wood airplane with their little homemade engine. Bicycle guys who could make something light enough to fly, unlike car guys, of whom there were many in 1903, who could only make heavy things, which couldn't get off the ground. Tracy Delaney pointed this out to me, and I've always remembered it. She said, she's the author of the Serenu.com, an inventor, by the way, S-E-R-E-N-N-U, Serenu.com website. She said, it was bicycle guys who made the airplane fly. And the thing about this chart is it is the sun conjunct Uranus at the time that airplane flew. In fact, they were hours away from a new moon in Sagittarius conjunct Uranus. And this is one of a number of experiments where Uranus comes up as a factor, one form or another, in the chart of an invention. In Edison's case, he was having a Uranus transit at the time he had the breakthrough on inventing the light bulb. He was having his Uranian opposition. So at different times, in different ways, this planet that I'm talking about, Uranus, shows up in the charts of inventions. And when Uranus is present, it is wise, it is time, it is appropriate to experiment with the role of the inventor. And when Uranus is in the 7th house, that is about inventing relationships in a way that is healthy, that is interesting, that is different, that is what you want, that is what you need, that is perhaps an adaptation, as many inventions are, to create something that really suits the circumstance, that meets the need of whatever it is that is happening. And one thing we can say about the relationship models presented even here at this late hour in the 21st century is that most of them are obsolete. They don't really respond to the needs of the world that we live in. And besides being obsolete, typically they are unquestioned and uncreative. I think that traditional models can be highly applicable, very useful. Like many old things can be useful if they're understood, if the needs of the people are understood, and if there is a conscious application of the old idea in the new context, the context of the life that you are living now in the world that exists now. For example, it's not practical to engage in monogamous relationship where the people in the relationship are quote-unquote not allowed to have friends of the opposite sex. It's just not practical. Despite many struggles and ups and downs and the half-baked feminist movement and the misguided current feminist movement that really needs a revival of people who are devoted to equality, we are slowly grinding, agonizingly slowly, with bursts of innovation and things happening that are very positive, that remind us of what potential we have, in the direction of equality. And as part of that equality, I think a foundational level of that equality is that we need to be able to relate to one another socially without a lot of imposed, artificial, unnecessary rules, rules that are often based on insecurity, rules that are based on often on someone else's insecurity. And the presence of Uranus describes in the seventh, describes something else, a bit special, which is the presence of the group in your life, your relationship to the group in whatever form that is. All kinds of groups in life, and that can include networks, it can include your company, it can include your circle of friends, it can include any level of society where you are out of the strictly one-on-one interrelationship. And so Uranus is likely to be presenting you with opportunities to go beyond the one-on-one concept of a relationship, especially in its more oppressive form, and relate to others equally on level ground, and to be able to be present for others on that same level ground. And so this concept of, well, we're together and you can't have any friends who are guys, or saying to, you know, your boyfriend, we're together and you can't have any friends who are girls, completely done. Absolutely ridiculous to impose that rule on people. That is not commenting on the need for or the nature of commitment, but what it does is opens the door to the possibility of attractions. Because if you are friends with people, sooner or later, you're going to be attracted to one or more of those people in some way. And so there is a need to rethink the whole concept of relationship to accommodate a measure of equality, to accommodate a measure of mutuality, to accommodate the fact that there are all kinds of interesting and beautiful people in the world around you, in the world around us, and there needs to be a realistic and, as Uranus would have it, inventive idea of what it means to correlate with people in this kind of social environment. And so, at minimum, there is not any one-on-one relationship that you can be in now that is not consciously involved in a mutual process of what you just might think of as updating the files on what a relationship is. And that updating the files is so deep, and there's so much to it that it amounts to a reinvention of the concept of what a relationship is and what a relationship is about and why you would even have one in the first place. And it's worth mentioning that not all intimate partnerships can take this kind of reinvention. And so what you might find is that there are relationships that are straining under the need to reinvent themselves. They are out of the current context. They're either unconsciously or consciously following rules that are not necessarily serving you. And because the context is so powerful, because the changes are so necessary, that certain relationships are not going to make it in their current form. So another factor of Uranus is the reinvention, the new form, the lover becomes friend, friend becomes lover, this distinction between artificial, entirely distinction, between friend and lover is not working in the way that it was originally written, and so that needs to be rewritten. Your concept of a circle of friends needs to be brought into a wholly modern context. And basically, the beauty of this Uranian transit is that it will leave you taking nothing for granted. It will leave you, I think, at its very best, understanding that there's a gift involved here, and that gift is that you are going to bring yourself, body and soul, household, goals, ambitions, needs, into a purely contemporary social context. And that, as I've suggested, doesn't mean there's not room for certain traditional concepts. But when we go back to where we started the reading in the fourth house, which for you is Capricorn, which implies a strong concept of a traditional foundation, we see that Pluto is there. And so all of the traditions that are either expressly implied, expressly stated by Capricorn or implied by Capricorn are themselves being subject to renewal, to renovation, to rebirth. And as my old teacher, Arthur Joseph Kushner, beloved teacher of mine who passed away about 10 years ago, a little bit more, would say that tradition that is not alive and changing is dead. And so with Pluto in Capricorn, there is a pruning away of traditions that are not alive, and then, as Pluto often does, a renewal of tradition with new energy, with new ideas, with a new concept. I mean, we're talking about, you know, it's a bit outdated to have a, you know, to cook on a wood stove, but the concept of the hearth might be replaced by having, if you're going to build your own home, a kitchen located in the center of the house, having a nice gas range in the house. And so we've taken this concept of the hearth and we've transformed it into something that can serve a very similar purpose, possibly do it better, can do it more safely, more cleanly, but it's still basically the same idea that there's a central location in the home that is honoring of tradition, but bringing it into a modern context, using modern technology, Uranian concept, if there ever was one. One last thing, the glamour factor of Uranus and Aries. This is probably the most dangerous thing about this, and what reminded me of that was the technology bit. And Martha Lang Westcott, one of my favorite astrologers and astrology teachers, who I've spent many hours on the phone listening to her and discussing the issues of our day, once warned me, and I've quoted this in Planet Waves before, about the glam aspect of Uranus in Aries and the glam aspect of technology. And there can be an obsession with the glamorous aspect of technology with Uranus in Aries and in the seventh house. And this might manifest for you potentially as, for example, an obsession with online friends, with social networking, with appearance, with people's appearances, with their public relations position. And I would leave this as a cautionary note that technology has its gifts for us. There's no doubt about that. And I think that given that we are alive at this time in history, putting up with an unconscionable amount of bullshit, being here, that part of the reward of that is being able to use technology and take maximum advantage of it. But the caution of Uranus and Aries is beware of the glamour of technology. Don't be seduced by things that are ultimately not nourishing, and to make sure that you are using technology in a way consciously that leads you to something meaningful, something central, something with some love to it, rather than staying on the shiny surface of things. So, you know, that might mean pick up the phone and call people. It might mean, if someone is a good friend on Facebook, get together and meet that person. Traditional, right? Give them a hug. See what they look like. Look at their eyes. And use the technology to get you to the next level, to the next place. All right, I'm going to take a little break and come back. I've got an agenda for part two, which includes looking at Chiron in Pisces, another one of those transits that requires careful understanding, though quite a beautiful one that I kind of wish would last forever. I'm also going to talk about the Mercury retrograde that is about to start. I'm recording this on Friday, right before the Mercury retrograde, and a few other factors that will fill in the details. All right. Thanks for listening. This has, as usual, been great fun. Love. Bye for now.